It was just as well that deliverance was on its way, from a completely unexpected direction.
Nice to meet you, Commander Poole, for the second time.
I'm sorry, don't recall. But then I see so many people.
No need to apologize. First time was out round Neptune.
Captain Chandler! Delighted to see you. Can I get something from the auto chef?
Anything with over 20% alcohol will be fine.
And what are you doing back on Earth? They told me you never come inside Mars orbit.
Almost true, though I was born here. I think it's a dirty, smelly place. Too many people. Creeping up to 1 billion again.
More than 10 billion in my time. By the way, did you get my thank you message?
Yes, and I know I should have contacted you, but I waited until I headed sunwards again. So, here I am. Your good health.
As the captain disposed of his drink with impressive speed, Poole tried to analyze his visitor. Beards, even small goatees like Chandler's, were very rare in this society, and he had never known an astronaut who wore one. They did not coexist comfortably with space helmets. Of course, a captain might go for years between EVs, and in any case, most outside jobs were done by robots. But there was always the risk of the unexpected, when one might have to get suited in a hurry. It was obvious that Chandler was something of an eccentric, and Poole's heart warmed to him.
You've not answered my question. If you don't like Earth, what are you doing here?
Oh, mostly contacting old friends. It's wonderful to forget hour-long delays and to have real-time conversations. But, of course, that's not the reason. My old rust bucket is having a refit up at the Rim shipyard, and the armor has to be replaced. When it gets down to a few centimeters thick, I don't sleep too well.
Armor?
Dust shield. Not such a problem in your time, was it? But it's a dirty environment out round Jupiter, and our normal cruise speed is several thousand clicks a second, so there's a continuous gentle pattering, like raindrops on the roof.
You're joking.
Course I am. If we really could hear anything, we'd be dead. Luckily, this sort of unpleasantness is very rare. Last serious accident was 20 years ago. We know all the main comet streams where most of the junk is, and are careful to avoid them, except when we're matching velocity to round up ice. But why don't you come aboard and have a look around before we take off for Jupiter?
I'd be delighted. Did you say Jupiter?
Well, Ganymede, of course. Anubis City. We've a lot of business there, and several of us have families we haven't seen for months.
Poole scarcely heard him. Suddenly, unexpectedly, and perhaps none too soon, he had found a reason for living. Commander Frank Poole was the sort of man who hated to leave a job undone, and a few specks of cosmic dust, even moving at 1,000 kilometers a second, were not likely to discourage him. He had unfinished business at the world once known as Jupiter. Part 2. Goliath. Chapter 14. A Farewell to Earth. Anything you want, within reason, he had been told. Frank Poole was not sure if his hosts would consider that returning to Jupiter was a reasonable request. Indeed, he was not quite sure himself, and was beginning to have second thoughts. He had already committed himself to scores of engagements weeks in advance. Most of them he would be happy to miss, but there were some he would be sorry to forego. In particular, he hated to disappoint the senior class from his old high school. How astonishing that it still existed, when they planned to visit him next month. However, he was relieved and a little surprised when both Indra and Professor Anderson agreed that it was an excellent idea. For the first time, he realized that they had been concerned with his mental health. Perhaps a holiday from Earth would be the best possible cure. And most important of all, Captain Chandler was delighted.
You can have my cabin, he promised. I'll kick the first mate out of hers.
There were times when Poole wondered if Chandler, with his beard and swagger, was not another anachronism. He could easily picture him on the bridge of a battered three-master, with skull and crossbones flying overhead. Once his decision had been made, events moved with surprising speed.
He had accumulated very few possessions, and fewer still that he needed to take.